Welcome back, everybody. And welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the canceling of Kimmel. Remember when conservatives were really worried about cancel culture? Whoop! I guess that's not a thing anymore. And just so we're all aware, the timeline here is really important, right? And I'm joined by expert Dr. Kathleen Bartson-Culver of the University of Wisconsin at Madison. She is a professor of journalistic ethics and expert on the media. She's helping us understand here. So very briefly, I just want to remind everybody the timeline here. The statement that, and I think a lot of us would agree, was in very, very poor taste by Jimmy Kimmel, happened on Monday. By Tuesday, FCC Chair Brandon Carr was on a variety of shows basically threatening the FCC licenses of ABC affiliates, okay? Talking about news distortion and the public interest, and basically called on affiliates to preempt Kimmel. Of course, if your show is getting preempted, the network ABC here is gonna lose advertising dollars and advertisers, and in turn, that will hurt their business. Now, in the offing is this massive merger between two huge ABC affiliates. It's this Nexstar and Tegna. So that merger's pending. It also needs FCC approval. So when you put this, and by Wednesday night, Kimmel was canceled. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday, the statement. Tuesday, the threats. Wednesday, he's canceled. I don't know about you, but as the good doctor Bartson-Culver pointed out, of course, ABC can fire Jimmy Kimmel for any reason as long as his contract says that's a good reason to fire him. But if the government, through threats, is effectively turning ABC into an arm of the government to censor Mr. Kimmel, then we have a problem. And I wanted to ask you, Katie, am I putting that together right? Because that, to me, is the lurking question here.
Yes, you're exactly right. So let's just say, so let's use this rather than a criticism of Charlie Kirk. Let's use it as an expression. There was I've only found one case so far, but there was a case in Illinois of a local TV anchor who was suspended and then quit for delivering sort of a eulogy or a memorial to Charlie Kirk. So let's just say you and me. You work for Civic Media and you deliver that and your bosses are unhappy with you and they fire you. There's no problem. You have no First Amendment. You have no First Amendment protection. And I do it. And Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin of the University of Wisconsin fires me. There's a First Amendment problem because she is an arm of the state of Wisconsin. What we have here is analogous to Governor Tony Evers pressuring the owners of Civic Media to fire you. That's what's going on here. So it's not the state directly punishing someone, but influencing a private actor to punish someone. And that's every bit as big a problem as them doing it directly, especially when we're talking about these corporate actors with quite literally billions of dollars at stake. In these merger deals. And, you know, you saw their interests play out in the Skydance Paramount merger deal that involved CBS News to the great, great, great worry and chagrin of people working for CBS News. But ultimately, in the end, it was all about the money.
And just to refresh everyone's recollection, first of all, we've got Dr. Katie Bartson-Culver of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, media expert. What happened at CBS was not just the canceling of Colbert, but effectively CBS agreeing to settle a case that every media expert lawyer, every First Amendment litigator that I talked to said that they would absolutely win. They settled that case, agreed to certain terms, which led to the resignation of one of the most revered executive producers in the news business. He worked on 60 Minutes. It was the 60 Minutes program that was sued by Donald Trump. All of that, some would argue, to get the Paramount Skydance merger done. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Keep in mind all of these things that Chairperson Carr is saying. He also wrote the section of Project 2025 about the FCC. It begins on page 845 of Project 2025. We'll put a link to Project 2025 in our show notes from today. You can find those at civicmedia.us/shows or on Apple Pods, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Here's what the first couple of sentences written by Brandon Carr said when he wrote Project 2025. The FCC should promote freedom of speech. The FCC is an independent regulatory agency. It sure as heck doesn't seem so now, does it, Katie? I mean, what is even happening?
Right. When we're talking about, you know, folks saying that, you know, we're no longer going to be getting this progressive domination out of New York and Hollywood, this isn't, you know, we're not looking for a level playing field. We're looking to tilt in a particular direction. And that should scare everyone, again, regardless of your ideology, because I don't know other people's experiences with government, but in my experiences, once it has power, it doesn't tend to give it up. And so administrations change, but the next administration isn't terrifically likely to give back the power that has been wrested away from the people. It's the same way I feel about tariffs. They're going to get addicted to that tax income, and we're not getting it back as consumers.
Folks, again, that's Dr. Katie Bartson-Culver. We are going to take some calls on the other side. She's going to stick around for a little bit longer. When we come back, I also want to contrast what has gone on with these two major mergers, the regulatory approval that was needed, the pressure that was exerted by the Trump administration on these private corporations, and the firings of other folks, like some personalities from Fox News. Why is that different? Why is that not at all analogous to what we're seeing happen with the Trump administration's pressure on ABC and CBS? Well, stay right with us. We'll be right back on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.